I can't even, it's hard to describe.
Right.
I mean, that's how amazing it was.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Dare to Be Different podcast, a podcast for people who want to live an extraordinary life. On this week's episode, Joe and Ed talk about the exciting outcome of Shark Tank. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Dare to Be Different podcast. My name is Joe and I'm here with Ed Knoll today. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good. Lots of stuff going on this week, but I wanted to start with a little introduction to our podcast because we have, it seems like we have more and more listeners every single week, which is fantastic.
Thank you
guys so much for sharing the podcast and getting to know us through this podcast journey.
Yeah.
But the Dare to Be Different podcast is all about living an extraordinary life. And we've picked five words that we feel really describe that type of life, and that's adventurous, honest, passionate, healthy, and grateful. And today, I have a feeling that people want to hear, or at least you want me to talk about a huge adventure that I've been on for the last couple months.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked a few weeks ago about how you and your other company. So you got a few facets of your empire that you seem to be building, the Joe Altieri empire. Obviously, you have the Dare to Be Different podcast. You have a marketing company,
yep.
Reflex Brands. But then you also have what was, I guess, your first brainchild, which is an organization called Flex Screen,
yes.
The world's first flexible window screen.
Yes, and now nationally and internationally, I've gotten calls from Australia and New Zealand and South America, but yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
This company that started in your garage.
In my garage.
Has now gained a whole lot more fame because last Sunday, January 8th, what was that? 6th?
5th.
5th.
Yes.
January 5th, whatever.
We're both looking over at Nicholas like, when was 5th. That? Look at your phone.
You were on ABC Shark Tank.
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
It is absolutely unbelievable. And truthfully, at this point, I still in some ways don't believe it.
Right.
So.
And so when you first really heard out that you've been in this for a while now, but when we found out the air date, we filmed an episode of the Dare to Be Different podcast to talk about how you were really feeling leading up to it.
Yep.
But at that point, you couldn't really talk about anything.
Right. Because, of course, the show doesn't want anybody to know what's going on. And
right.
In fairness, that's part of the drama. Did you get a deal? Did you not get a deal? So, yeah, I could only talk about so much of it, which was, it was so great to be able to say, we're going to be on, but then to still have this, anticipation of, I want to tell everybody what happened.
Right.
So.
And I think the majority of people that know you or are following the journey assumed you got a deal. But again, without being able to confirm it, everyone maybe's had this like inkling of doubt. Like, did he really? Like, you got to watch to find out.
Sure, and also even the people that get deals don't leave unscathed either.
Right.
So I think a lot of people were like, let's see how bad he got beat up.
Right.
Which was interesting because I wanted to see how bad I got beat
up
too, because
I
had not seen it.
Wow.
Like I knew what happened.
Right.
But between me walking through those doors and, me leaving those doors, a lot of it's a blur.
Yeah.
Again, I have memories of what happened.
Right.
But, the fact of the matter is you say a lot in front of the cameras. And,
yep.
And a lot of it is, how does it get edited and what did you actually say?
Yeah.
So, yes, as we had our Shark Tank viewing party, which you were the host, so thank you very much for that.
Absolutely.
Oh, and speaking of which, before I go any further, one of our words is grateful. And one huge, huge group of people that I did not thank at the viewing party was my staff. So, like you said, I have two different staffs. I have the Reflex Brand staff, which is our media marketing company, and then the Flex Screen staff.
Right.
And they pulled off just an amazing party, which I want to thank them for that. But then also for all of the efforts of actually getting us on to Shark Tank. It's, having a product is one thing, but having a staff that can take it and get it out there so that somebody like a Shark Tank would notice it. It's huge. So they are 100% the superstars, and I've spent at least 2 minutes now thanking them. So I hope that they get the point that I appreciate them and I am grateful for them.
Yep. Good. You guys got that out of your system back there?
Yeah.
Great. All right. They're very happy.
Yeah. We'll have to see if I have to name them, you know, specifically with a certain thank you for each one of them. But
you are actually grateful.
No, I really am. I'm teasing them, but they are amazing at what they do. So
yeah, absolutely. So you went on Shark Tank. We couldn't talk about what happened. You probably can go on abc.com right now and watch an on-demand version of the episode, right? Yeah. So if you go to abc.com, you can check out the episode that aired on January 5th and watch it back. You were the last person to air. There were four different pitches on that episode. So you kind of came on, I don't know, about 40 minutes into the episode or so, and we're the last third of the episode. So you can go back, go to abc.com and watch that if you're interested in seeing the show. But this is spoiler alert time. What happened on the show?
I got a deal.
You got a deal.
Yeah. So Lori Grenier, in her infinite wisdom, saw so much potential in Flex Screen. So Lori jumped in and she's now part of Flex Screen.
Yeah.
And part of our story, which is amazing.
Yeah.
She's brilliant. Not just for for picking Flex Screen, of course.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Anybody that does that is brilliant. But she is a brilliant person, and her team is amazing. So we're really excited about that.
Again, go back and listen to the other episode if you want to kind of hear how he was feeling leading up to it. But we want to talk about some of the things you can talk about now that it's public, now that you've got a deal. So what were you thinking going in? Did you have a specific shark in mind or a specific deal in mind? And how did what you were hoping for compare to what actually played out?
So when we were talking, and all of the sharks have their pros and cons, right? So, with each of them. And Lori was the one, and I'm not saying this because we got the deal with her. I would be honest.
Right.
But she was the one who we thought for our product would be the best fit.
Yeah.
You know, so first of all, she is very good with homeowner goods type of products, right? So and she reaches into the Mr. and Mrs. Jones type of thing. She's right there. She's in their homes with her QVC show, you know, things like that. And she's amazing. I mean, I've said this over and over again. Anybody that can make Squatty Potty a household name is a brilliant marketer.
Right.
So we looked at her and said, man, this would be fantastic.
Right.
The other side of it was we were looking at what type of deal would we really like. And we had seen Barbara pull out this very similar to what happened with us, where she said, you know what, you have this portion of your business that I want to stay out of. You run that, you do your thing over there, but I see huge potential on the retail side, and I just want to be a part of the retail side.
Right.
And so in my wildest dreams, as I'm talking to my partners and we're preparing, I said, it would be great if we had Lori Grenier and we had a completely separate retail entity that she was a part of, but our main business stayed the same. So, and when they go into the, we have a deal thing, that is the most surreal experience I will ever experience in my life, because you're defending, they're asking all these questions, and then all of a sudden they're like, now we want to be a part of your company. You're like, what?
Wow.
Like, is that really happening? So, but when they started going back and forth, and then Lori was interested, and you don't see a lot of the what happens between the beginning of the segment and the end. There's a lot of time in between, a lot of back and forth.
Right, because your segment was 20 minutes long, and then there's commercials in there.
Sure.
Right. So, I mean, on air, you were probably 12 to 14 minutes, something like that. You know, so. How long were you actually in the tank with them?
It was over 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a long time.
Wow.
So that again, what you see on TV is good TV, right? They want people to they want some reactions and stuff like that.
Right.
And nothing's it's legitimate. I mean, they didn't take anything out of context or anything like that, but they have to get it down to 14 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So they show like the best parts. But for them to go from hey, we have some issues with your business model, to three of them fighting over making a deal.
Right.
There's a lot of discussion that happens in between there.
Yeah. I was thinking that as I was watching it. And how do you feel like you were portrayed through what actually aired?
You know, one of the things, somebody had said this, you know, every episode they try to have one company that's the hero of the episode.
Hmm.
And it seemed like we were that company in that episode. And they made a lot of, there was a lot of social posts about Barbara and Lori fighting.
Right.
Barbara letting some cuss words slip out,
right.
You know, things like that, which were a lot of fun. And so I thought that we were portrayed very well. You know, if you go online, it's amazing because, you know, we follow everything. My staff is looking at everything. And so if you go on Reddit and you look up, you know, Flex Screen or Joe Altieri or anything like that, you know, you'll find 10,000 people that know that they can run my business better than me, which is great, of course. But the fact of the matter is they can't show all of the discussions. They just simply can't. Number one, it would be boring to a lot of people. You know, it's a lot of numbers. It's a lot of helping them understand what's going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, I thought that we were portrayed very well. You know, me personally, it's so weird seeing myself up on the screen.
Yeah.
So I don't know necessarily that I like how and I've only, other than our viewing party, I've only watched it one time.
Got it.
So
you, you're in the tank for 2 hours. How long do you feel like, if you could guess, because I know you've described it as a blur and honestly, it's hard for you to remember. How long was it like defending or giving answers about your company to then switching over to they're making pitches and offers and now you're discussing that portion?
So again, because it's a little bit of a blur, I'm going to make some very general, know what I mean? I would say that the first, you know, 10 to 12 minutes is about the product. You know, they want to understand the product. So they're asking a lot of questions. And again, they didn't show a lot of that because that would be the whole thing. And then there's probably about 50 to 60% in the middle that is questions, you know, you defending your business model.
Right.
You know, them trying to understand the financial side of your business. And then the last, you know, call it 20% or so is you actually going back and forth with the deal. Even the deals, there's a lot more back and forth than they show. It almost seems like, hey, we want to make a deal. And then you're like, you're giving somebody a hug.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of conversations.
It's so fast paced on the show.
Sure.
To see some of the people drop out. What was it like to have two sharks truly fighting over you?
It was amazing. I don't know how else to say it. The to go in and not even sure how you're going to do.
Right.
You know, then to go through the, you know, the exhausting, mentally exhausting battle of defending, you know, everything. And then suddenly you get into this like relief stage of like, holy snot, I'm going to walk out of here with a deal.
Yeah.
You know, and trying to process that as two people, and at that point there were actually three. I mean, Mr. Wonderful was in the mix.
Yes.
And so, you know, that was it. It's hard to describe.
Right.
I mean, that's how amazing it was.
Yeah.
And then to actually have to choose.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of companies go in there and like the only thing they have to choose is whether or not they're going to make the deal because there's a shark that has made something, you know, has made an offer that's
not what they
want. Not that they want. Yeah. And they're like, man, should I? Shouldn't I? You know, but I had literally the exact deal that I was going in there in my mind. And I just had to choose whether it was Barbara or Lori.
That's wild.
It was.
Man.
Yeah. It was amazing.
So that was a while ago that you filmed.
June.
Yep. June. So just aired, this is January. So where are things at now?
So, you know, you know, first of all, we've started, going, you know, talking with Lori, you know, about, first of all, she called on, I don't know if I told you this or not. She called that night. And because I didn't recognize the number, I was, of course, you know, talking to everybody.
I
dismissed the call to Lori Grenier.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, I have a business.
Should probably save her number.
I should probably have it in there. Yes. But the one of my you know, business associates thinks that was a major power move.
Yeah,
like Lori, it wasn't.
Sorry.
Yeah,
I don't
just
have time
just
for you.
Just so you're aware.
Yeah,
did not mean to do that. But so you know, we're kind of going back and forth with that. You know, there's a trade show in March that she had mentioned attending with some of her other companies. So, you know, what happens after is really strategy starts, you know, starts going.
Right.
And that for different companies means different things. You know, we're a little bit more of a complex company than a, you know, one of the retail companies that simply buys for $2, sells for $20.
Sure.
And just make sure you have enough inventory and
yeah,
you know,
it'll be okay.
Yeah. Lori says, you know, hey, this is the greatest thing on QVC and they start flying off the shelves.
Right.
You know, we're a little bit more of a complex company. So, so there's more planning involved with that side. But yeah, it's been exciting. I mean, dealing with her, you know, dealing with her team is amazing. And also one of the fun things is getting to know some of the other entrepreneurs that have been on Shark Tank. So, you know, there's this community of people.
Are you in
that
a club now, like a secret club?
Yeah, there's a handshake and everything now. But no, I have been, I got contacted by one of the gentlemen who in 2013 went on the show, and his company's called Cell Helmet, and he didn't get a deal, you know, back in 2013.
Yeah.
But, you know, he and I talked quite a bit. We're going to get together. And then some other people online we've just connected with, and they're just, you know, congratulations. But then also, you know, hey, here's some tips and tricks for, you know, best utilizing your, you know, your national exposure and stuff like that. So it's been a fun week.
Right.
You know, just kind of diving into all of that stuff.
Yeah. So is the retail side that Lori's helped pioneering alongside you guys, is it open yet?
It is. I mean, the efforts for that her and her team are putting in haven't kicked in yet. But the sales, I mean, we're selling window screens in January, and the sales have been astronomical. It's been amazing.
Wow.
So to the point where I went into our customer service office and just said, aren't you guys glad that this wasn't, you know, April? Yeah. We actually shot in January so that we have we at least have the ability to breathe a little bit, because if this was, you know, quote unquote screen season,
right,
it would have buried us.
Spring is typically when people are buying window screens.
Correct.
Right. So to have it hit in January, it's just been helpful to manage the load.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not from the capacity side. Like our plants can handle it. It's just more of the customer service. A lot of people, you know, that Sunday night was the first time that they had
even considered.
They had never known what flex screen was. Like it was unknown. And now, boom, here it is in the limelight. Right. So we've, I think for the first 3 or 4 days, we had 3 people in customer service that did nothing but answer phones for 10 hours a day.
Wow.
You know, just people calling in, asking questions.
Wow.
And so, I mean, it's been.
Yeah, managing
been,
all that.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
So, of course, this Dare to Be Different podcast is, in essence, it is a leadership podcast. So you just went through an experience that very, very few people will ever go through in their lifetime. How did that change you personally and as a leader?
Well, the first thing was that, you know, we went into this, we were on this journey for almost a year, right? So March through, you know, we finally, you know, aired in June or January. So, you know, through the entire thing, we just said, this is an adventure that we are on. You know, like this is a risk that is worthwhile, because we could have gone on, I could have gone on in June and just got beat up.
Right.
You know, I could have embarrassed myself. I could have embarrassed the company, and it would not have been good for any of us.
Sure.
But luckily, you know, very fortunately, it didn't end up that way.
Yeah.
But we went into this the entire way just going, you know what, this is something that not many people get to do. Good, bad, and different. You know what I mean? It's something that we will be able to talk about and learn some things from.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was the first thing was, you know, going into this with the anticipation of no outcome that we could control necessarily. Like, we could prepare as much as possible, but we couldn't necessarily control the outcome.
Wow, that's really good.
And so that was big. And there's I think that there's a lot of lessons in there for budding entrepreneurs, leaders, or just everyday people
living
that are
your life.
Just living your life. Like, sometimes, you know, trying to plan everything out just isn't going to work.
Yeah.
So just go in and say, if I fail, I'm going to learn a great lesson. If it doesn't work out the way that I want it to, at least it's a story that I get to tell, and it's it's life. We talked about this before. Like this is life, you know, going through all of this stuff.
So I think a lot of people, that's such good advice. So control what you can control. You might not be able to control the outcome, but there are things along the way you can manage. So what would you say to somebody that might be sitting in a situation where because they know they can't control the outcome or they're not sure what the outcome is going to be, they have some fear, they have some insecurity, and so it stops them from even starting something in the first place. What advice might you have for somebody maybe in that position?
I would say, first of all, try to realign what the outcome is that you're trying to get. So so the outcome, we think that it's some sort of positive result, but the real outcome that you should be looking for is what happened along that way.
Wow, that's
so
good.
That's the big difference for us. So if you're listening to the podcast, you can't see it, but I had a shark tattoo, and I went and got it the day after we shot.
Oh, okay.
So we're still out in California. We went out to, my wife and I went out to Venice Beach, and on the beach, right there on the beach, I got a Shark Tank tattoo. And at that point, we didn't even know if we would air.
You know?
And we had no idea how we'd be portrayed and all that stuff. But I wanted just to memorialize this adventure that we were on.
Yeah.
Because that to me was, you know, even if no one ever saw the episode, I still walked through those doors.
Right.
I still stood in front of those people.
Right.
You know, me and my staff, we still prepared for this and went through that whole process. And so that was the result that we were looking for. Even going, you know, we're flying out. My wife and I are flying out, and I'm practicing my pitch and my headphones and all that stuff. And I had to keep reminding myself that you know, being there was the result, not necessarily the outcome that comes out of that.
That's really good. Yeah. So I forget how you worded that. Reevaluate what you think the outcome is or should be. I can't even remember how you worded that, but that was brilliant.
We'll have to rewind that.
Yeah, I know. It's not exactly what you're thinking would be successful in whatever you're considering doing. That isn't the ultimate success. Stepping out, trying things, the experience. There's so much value in that portion of it. Than the actual outcome.
Yeah, and I've had, you know, through this experience and through this exposure, I've had tons of people reaching out on social media and email and phone calls saying, I have this idea. Would you be willing to talk to me about this? Would you be willing to? And, you know, for this first week, of course, it's been so busy, I haven't had a chance to really respond to a lot of them.
Right.
But I'm going to. And that's one of the things that I want to do with people is to actually help them. And I might not have great advice for their particular invention or their particular business or whatever the case may be, but I feel that I can help them get off and take that first step.
Sure.
And that is, to me, that is the most important thing that came out of the whole Shark Tank thing is just this, you know, whether it's the people around me, my children, where I can say, look, I had the opportunity to get embarrassed in front of millions and millions and millions of people. It's a very, very real opportunity.
Like, yeah.
It happens every single episode.
Yeah,
you know, two or three people get,
you
know, they get the snot beat out of them.
Right.
And they get embarrassed. And so I went into that going, this is a potential outcome. But the outcome that I am seeking is everything that's happening between now and then.
Yeah.
And being able to tell and then, you know, going, man, I messed up and this didn't work, but you know, man, look at all these lessons that I learned.
So how do you feel like this experience stretched you as a CEO, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner?
So, man, that's a great question, Ed.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, the first thing was that, you know, we had to expand faster than we would have naturally. So, you know, we knew in June that we were going to, that this was coming up, or at least potentially coming up.
Right.
And so we had to start adding to our staff. And so that is, you know, bringing people in, getting them trained. And then also, you've met a lot of my staff. I mean, they're passionate about what we're doing.
Sure.
And so that has been definitely a challenge. Because you know, the day to day of what I have to accomplish every day, it hasn't diminished.
Right.
But now I have this extra, you know, this extra portion of my life that is you know, helping to lead the staff that is now
right.
surrounding me.
Right.
And it has grown exponentially over the last couple months.
Right.
So that's been, you know, that has definitely stretched me.
Yeah.
For sure.
Interesting.
And, you know, the other side of it too, which I'm interested to see how this works out. We've been running on the Shark Tank gas for a long mm-hmm. time. You know, there's been a lot of excitement, and especially, you know, over the last couple weeks, you know, a couple months as things have gotten closer, we were like, hey, we know if it's going to air, it's coming up soon, because, you know, we're going into the second half of the season.
Yeah.
And so there's been this, you know, again, this push from Shark Tank, this excitement that now we have to, you know, now that's behind us.
Right.
So now kind of figuring out what the next things are that
yeah.
the staff can, you know, get behind.
Right.
Because you know, I don't want to have a boring company. I don't yeah. know how else to say it.
Yeah.
Like there has to be something that we're looking forward to and that we're stretching towards. And if there isn't something there, that's on me, that's on my shoulders. And I have a feeling that the staff here would get bored.
Yeah.
It's hard to come back after something
right.
like Shark Tank.
That's
and go, hey, well, now it's just day to day. Now
yeah.
it's just, you know, boring. You
yeah.
know, orders come in, orders go out.
Right.
So.
Yeah, you want to have some sort of goal or some sort of way to stretch your organization and your staff in every season, it would
mm-hmm.
seem, in order to maintain momentum, maintain camaraderie, everything else that comes along with that.
Yeah, because it is. It's important. I mean, you and I, before we started, you know, today, we started talking about vacation and having something 6 months out that to look forward to and,
yeah.
and something that we're striving towards. And I think every organization has to have that too. I think that people leave organizations, you know, number one, because they're not inspired. You know, a lot of times people look at and they go, man, if I could pay more, you know, my staff would be happier. My staff
right.
would be, I would be able to get a better type of person or my staff would stay longer.
Yeah.
And I just don't, from everything that I've read, the people that I've talked to, I don't think that's the case. I think that the leadership will keep people that are less paid. The leadership will keep people passionate. The leadership will you know, keep people inspired to do more than they're actually paid to do.
Right.
And that's that to me is going to be a big challenge.
Yeah.
You know, going forward, because
yeah.
I have to stay inspired.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
There's definitely a natural ability or a natural pitfall to fall into is after something like this, where you almost fall into a depression. You know, it's like, man, like this was so big and so hyped up and all that stuff, and now it's like,
yeah.
Now what?
Right.
And so I have to protect myself from that
yeah.
as well.
So I don't want you to reuse the same answer, because this, you could probably do that. What did you learn about yourself personally as you went through this whole experience? So not necessarily the CEO and all that, but about Joe Altieri, what did you learn about yourself?
So, you know, I learned that the amount of stress that I go through, because this has been terribly stressful.
Sure.
For those people that have not, the people that have not listened for the last couple of weeks, my word of the year is vulnerable.
Right.
So I'm gonna drop a vulnerable bomb here.
Let's go.
I did not handle the stress of this very well personally. I'm a stress eater, so I've probably put on like 20 pounds over the last 6 months since we aired, and now, and then even the 3 weeks. Since we announced it to we actually aired. So I had no idea what this was going to look like, right? So even though I knew that I got a deal, you know, I just had no idea. I mean, it was terribly, terribly stressful. And so, you know, I didn't deal with it very well.
Hmm.
So, you know, I want to find much healthier ways of dealing with it. You know, I feel that my health suffered. And I want to make sure that I have ways, and I might even go and talk to a therapist or something,
yeah.
try to get some strategies
right.
to personally handle the stress and the pressure better than I did. You know, for whatever reason, good, bad, whatever, you know, I feel that I needed to put a happy face on for my partners and my staff
mm-hmm.
and my family and all that stuff. And that is, that wore on me.
Yeah.
So I think that,
wow.
yeah.
That's powerful.
It is. And it's not something that, you know, I don't think you'll hear a lot of CEOs and people admit that, but it's also terribly lonely, you know, leading an organization mm-hmm. and dealing with that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, as I face stress and other situations again in the future, that, you know, my relationships stay strong, my health stays strong, my mental well-being stays strong. And so what I learned wasn't necessarily how to deal well with them, just that I know that I need to work on those things.
That's good.
So, you know, and that's one of those things, you know, coming out of it where you can look back and go, you know what, let's try something different here.
Yeah.
And so the nice thing about this podcast, and then also the fact that we're in 2020, is that, you know, number one, some of our listeners can keep me accountable. You can keep me accountable. Everybody right. else can. But also, you know, as I'm going through this journey, because everybody has stress,
right.
you know, whether it's health issues or financial issues, you know, just because you weren't on Shark Tank and had that type of stress, your stress is every bit as real to you
yep.
as mine was to me.
Right.
And so if I'm dealing with stress and I don't deal with it very well, more than likely there's other people out there that
sure.
have exactly the same situation.
Yeah.
So
that's really good. I'll let you close here in a second, but I think another principle that you're not even really addressing, but that I'm hearing, is that you could easily have ended up in a place where you recognized that you didn't handle that stress well, and at this point you could be beating yourself up for it. That why wasn't I a better leader? Why didn't I handle that well? And you could actually hurt yourself worse by thinking poorly about yourself in your own mind and the way that you think about who you are and what you could have done differently or something. But instead, I think it's a really valuable lesson for the listeners to understand that you took that as just an experience to learn from. It's not something to beat yourself up for things that you could have done better or handled better, but say, okay, that I'm recognizing something where maybe I had some deficiencies, and okay, I got to take some steps to get better. I think that's really good.
Yeah, and that's what this is all about. I mean, it's all along the journey is life. So this is you know, this is my journey.
Right.
And I hope that other people can learn from it. I hope that my kids, my grandkids, the people around me, you know, listen to this one day and that's my crazy old grandfather, whatever, you know, but at least there's some lesson in there that they go, wow, my grandfather, you know, or my dad or whatever struggled with this. And he's a real person.
Yeah.
And so anyway.
Thanks for sharing with us.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, the year of vulnerability, we'll see if, you know, we'll see if anybody still wants to be around me as I'm, you know, crying on people's shoulders.
But, yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, I guess we've taken up enough time, but I definitely want to continue this conversation, not necessarily about Shark Tank, but about the, you know, handling stress well, because I think that's something that our world needs more of, you know, that needs good strategies for handling stress and good, you know, good people that are on the journey with them, not yep. necessarily people that say, hey, I have it all figured out, just listen to me or buy my 1999, you know, masterclass on how to deal with stress. You know, this is, we're all in this together.
We're in it together.
So anyway, well, thank you guys so much for listening. If please do me a favor and do us a favor, do your friends a favor, share this podcast. We would love to get the word out more and more. And if nothing, more people can hear about how terrible I am at dealing with stress. So thank you guys so much. We'll catch up with you next week.
See ya.